Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, May the 20th, 2026. 5:20:26, almost Memorial Day, 19 minutes past the hour. And we're kicking off the morning this morning talking about a great event coming to Marion in the near future. Honor Flight at Home in Ohio, in Marion, comes to the Tri Rivers Vocational School, located on Route 95 east of Marion, across from Meyer, on Saturday, June the 6th. Check-in starts at 1 p.m. Program runs 2 to 3 p.m. And this morning, joining us is the event coordinator for that big event, Margie Saul. Margie, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, Scott. Thank you so much for all the information there. Yes, the event is coming up soon, and application deadline will be on May 27th. I need to have those in so that I can get materials and things ready for the veterans. But the veterans and their families really appreciate this event, because otherwise these veterans would not be honored. And the qualification for that is any veteran 65 or older that has not been on an honor flight and cannot travel to Washington, D.C., is welcome to come to the Marion program. And I'd like to also mention, even though it says Marion, it's open to any veteran in the state of Ohio that has those qualifications. I'm very proud of this program, as this program is the only one in the state of Ohio that Honor Flight has approved.
Oh, that's tremendous. How many years has this been going on out at Tri Rivers?
This will be the seventh one. I started the first one in 2018, and then we did 2019. And then with COVID, we had to take a break there in 19 and 2020, and then started back up in 21. But this year, I appreciate your having information out, as well as other social media and other radio stations and out in the area, and I've branched out. So we have ones coming from other areas besides Marion. I'm very happy for that.
Oh, I'm very glad to hear that, and we're very glad to do it. Margie, what started your interest in this organization?
Well, my dad was a World War II veteran, and we had taken him to D.C. in the car, because we have a son that lived out near there, and he, you know, got to see his World War II monument, but he could not fly there. And it's the camaraderie of being with other veterans that is so important. And so we were in Florida, as my parents would wander in Florida, and took him to the Florida State Fair, and there was a lady that came up to him as he was on his scooter, had his World War II cap on, and she said, "Have you been on honor flight to Washington, D.C.?" And we said, "No, he cannot travel because of some health issues that was advised by his doctor." She said, "Well, we have a program down in Clearwater, St. Pete, that we would like for you to attend in the afternoon." So after seeing that program, I thought how wonderful to be able to honor these veterans that cannot travel to D.C. And so I came back to Ohio after that vacation, talked with Honor Flight Columbus, and convinced them. I've been told that I was convincing and determined to get this program started, but they're very much on board with me to continue this program, and it's expanded. And I really appreciate the support of the Marion community, as well as surrounding communities, in volunteering. Many of them say, "What can I do for you?" So it's usually after the program is over, I set the date for the next year, and then they just put it on their calendar, and I check back with them later, and they're there to help support the veterans that day.
It's absolutely tremendous and very well deserved. If somebody wanted to get an application and get involved before the deadline coming up on May the 27th, what is the best way to do that?
The best way is to call 740-360-8902. I'll repeat that again. Call 740-360-8902. And then we can talk about getting the application, and sometimes veterans have families have questions, and as well as volunteers.
Now, if somebody has not been to this event, What goes on that day out at Tri Rivers?
Well, outside there's displays. I have a group that is out there helping the veterans get into the building, because I do have several veterans coming from assisted living facilities who are coming on buses, so they are helped into the to the building. After they come into the building, they have already have applied. We check off their name. They get a shirt, an on-a-flight shirt. They get a lanyard, just like they're going to get on the plane. And then they go on down the hall. They get their picture taken. There's some displays. And then on into the auditorium. I have volunteers in there who are talking with veterans. Every veteran has a story to share. And that day, our slogan is to honor, share, and celebrate their service. When the program is ready to start, the Marion Veterans Council will post the colors. The cadets from the Marion Harding High School will be doing the pledge. We sing the national anthem. There is an honor flight overview of kind of how the program got started. Because of honor flight, they're not flying, but they are there that day, how it got started. We sing salute to the branches as veterans stand. I have a guest speaker. There's a virtual tour of what they would see if they would be able to go to Washington, D.C. We have a mail call. We sing God Bless America at the end with everyone standing that can, waving their flag as we sing. Benediction, the Marion County Veterans Council retires the colors, and then family and friends are discharged to the hallway for the welcome home, and then each veteran and the person sitting with them in the program come out to the hallway, and as each name is announced, the branch of service, when they served, and then they go down the welcome home hallway. Hmm.
With you doing this for several years now, what are some stories that stick out in your mind, or things that you've seen in the years that you've been doing this?
Well, there's, some veterans that, especially Vietnam, they were not treated well and given the welcome home. And so they are hesitant in coming. And this program is physically, also emotionally, if they just say, I cannot go to the wall. So there was a veteran that was, he said, I just cannot go to the wall in D.C. And I said, well, you deserve to be honored. Please come to the program, and we honor you because you deserve to be honored for your service. So he came. About 2 weeks later, he wrote me a note saying that all the feelings built up inside of him all those years were totally erased in that afternoon at Tri Rivers. Hmm. So I think that's pretty powerful.
That's an amazing story, and it still boggles my mind in a way, because we all know the terrible things that the Vietnam veterans faced when they came back after Vietnam, especially right after that. But even 50 years later, more than 50 years later now, that is still in some veterans' mind about how they were treated. Apparently that sticks with you for quite a lifetime.
Yes, it does, yes. And so, the stories like that, then I've had World War II veterans come, and some of them kind of in the same way. And a couple years ago, I had a World War II veteran came, and when he saw the people and he saw the welcome home, he just took off his hat and was circling it in the air and saying 100 years old with a big smile on his face. So that was very rewarding, too. So the program is open to World War II, Korea, Vietnam veterans, and they're over 65 and qualify for the program.
You know, Margie, it's very interesting because the World War II veterans now are late 80s, 90s, some in their hundreds, and this group is depleting at a large rate just because of time and age. The ones who are still left, what is their feeling in general about their service? You know, Tom Brokaw years ago called them the greatest generation. How do they feel now at this point in their life as they're getting, unfortunately, toward the end of their life, and so many of their compatriots have went on?
Yes, I guess with them, one of the things, and it was also true with my dad, when you would say, thank you for his service, the one thing that they usually say, it was an honor to serve. That's what I've heard several times. They, maybe that time was hard for them, but now that they're older, they look back and they were glad that they were able to serve their country.
Yeah, and absolutely true. And again, if you would like an application for this event, call 740-360-8902. The deadline is fast approaching, May the 27th, 2026, just a few days away. This event, On Our Flight at Home in Ohio, in Marion, comes up Saturday, June the 6th. It's at Tri-Rivers, Route 95, right across from Meijer. Check-in starts at 1 p.m., and the program runs 2 to 3 p.m. Margie, what's the best part of this for you to be a part of this?
Well, I think it's just rewarding to see them coming and people being happy and the veterans. I was a former school teacher, and I kind of now relate this to my class. I go over and over and over these names, and then, you know, it's an exciting day to see them and their families. And that is one thing, when they go to Washington, D.C., the family cannot go with them. There's a trained guardian. And for this program, family and friends may attend, and people of the community, if you just want to come and support the veterans, you know, being in the hallway, thanking them, also in the cafeteria, in the auditorium, if you want to just talk with the veterans, or just show your support in attending.
Now, this is an event that the public can come to?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so that's also very important to mention. A couple quick questions here before I let you off the line. What is it important to know about people from any conflict or war or whatever it was called who serve this country? What should people know about them?
Well, I think that, you know, they're a special group of people. When I was teaching, I did patriotic programs with my students, and I think it's important we teach the young people too. But for the older ones, I think it's important that we, you know, thank them for this. A lot of times if I'm out in a store and I see a veteran with a cap on and I thank them for their service, it's kind of like there's that little hesitation like, oh, you recognize me. And I think it's important that we recognize these veterans and thank them for their service. Some are a little hesitant, like, oh, thank you, and want to go on. And then others want to stop, and they want to share a little bit of their time and their story.
What lesson do you think we can learn from them?
Well, I think we just, you know, it's important to respect and to honor and for what they've sacrificed, and then their families during this time. My dad was a World War II veteran, as I mentioned, but I also had a cousin that was did not make it home. He was April 19th of 1968. And so his name is on the wall in Vietnam, and so I did in Washington, D.C. And I just think that, you know, so much his families and the veterans have sacrificed so much that it's important that we recognize and honor them.
Do you think in this way, in this year, this is maybe takes on some special significance with the 250th anniversary of our country less than 2 months away now?
Yes, I do. And also, and then Sullivan mentioned to me that the program of June 6th is actually on D-Day. So I'm going to mention that too. And we also have a little, it's the FDA, our prayer that for D-Day that will be very short that we'll be doing that day at the program.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, I want to mention it again, On Our Flight at Home in Marion, in Ohio, in Marion, but also four surrounding counties, comes up Saturday, June the 6th. It will be at the Tri-Rivers Vocational Center, Route 95 east of Marion, across from Meijer. Check-in starts at 1 p.m. Program runs 2 to 3 p.m. The public is invited, but if you are a veteran, the deadline for applications is May the 27th, 2026. Best way to get an application is to call 740-360-8902. That number again, 740-360-8902. It is a very special event and something, if you know a veteran, they should definitely take part in. It is a great, great day, even if there's any trepidation from any veteran. And it is a free program. And it's a big thank you to the people who served. Margie Saul, the event coordinator, has been the guest this morning. Margie, anything left you want to leave the audience with?
I think that's it. I'm just looking for more veterans, and the more we have and the support of the community that day, it will be a wonderful event.
How many people attended last year, veteran-wise?
We had around 20, but I'm probably close to 30 this year, at least.
Terrific.
And some of them, you know, they don't know until last minute how they're going to feel. Like I said, if there's some are coming from assisted living facilities, then. But yes, at least the first year we had 32. So we're usually running around, you know, anywhere between 20 to 30. And so, but it's a great day.
Absolutely. A big, terrific event. Margie, thank you for all you do. I know this is close to your heart because of your father and because of the event that it is. And I know the veterans and certainly the Marion community appreciates all that you have done in bringing this here to Marion the past several years. Thank you for calling in this morning.
Yes, thank you, Scott. I appreciate your time and getting the information out to the veterans in Marion and the surrounding communities.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Margie Saul, event coordinator for Honor Flight at Home in Ohio, in Marion. But remember, that's for the surrounding communities. And I do as well. And I do want to mention again that Saturday, June the 6th, D-Day, by the way, Tri-Rivers Vocational School, Route 95, east of Marion, across from Meyer. Check-in starts at 1 p.m., program runs 2 to 3 p.m., and you've got to get your application in by May the 27th, right around the corner. And if you want an application, the best way to get it, call 740-360-8902. That's 740-360-8902. What a great event that is. Honor Flight at Home in Ohio, in Marion. Well, here we are on the show this morning. 62 degrees, light rain in Marion. The thin veil of mist that we have had pretty much since the end of March continues, raining every single day, and looks like today is not going to be any different. Temperatures are going to be much lower today. I think I was looking at the weather report, and the temperatures just get colder and colder and colder as the day goes along today, so that's the way today's going to run. And just before Memorial Day, it looks like gas prices jumped up. Last night I was on the road, the gas prices were still hovering around $4.71, and this morning as I was driving down Route 95, $4.89 at the BP, or the Duke, or whatever you would call it, right across from Aldi there. So here we are, gas prices really a problem for people. And of course, the continuing saga from Monday. I'll tell you, you know, we talked about the end of curbside recycling yesterday. The mayor announced during Monday night city council committee meetings, the end of curbside recycling coming up July the 1st. And the reaction that we have been getting on our social media page for that particular story is much higher than we would get for a normal story. So do people care about curbside recycling? Well, it certainly does seem as if they do. You know, it's very interesting. The story on the bus fare hike got some attention, but it was not huge attention. The story on the recycling, the end of curbside recycling, has got 60 reactions, 66 comments, and 47 shares. Now, that is an enormous amount for a city council story. Maybe the biggest, I'm trying to think of a story that got that kind of reaction in recent times. It's been a while since a story like that got reaction from City Hall. And I have said that, here's the thing. Now, you can agree with what the mayor is doing or what he's not doing in regard to this. But people see curbside recycling different than the other things that are going on. Because even if people don't like sanitation rates going up, they might not like storm sewer rates going up. They might not like the bus fares increasing. They might not like the out-of-city work tax credit going from 100% to 50%. But people understand that cost goes up and price raises, and that's just one of those things, unfortunately. It's like paying more for food in the grocery store. You don't want to do it, but you understand that that's what happens when there's inflation and when prices go up on a lot of things. People see curbside recycling, number one, because it's been in Marion for 41 years, they see that as going backwards. They don't see that as a jump forward, because people want to recycle. As I keep saying, I've had people come to my house for parties, and they'll get in the garbage can, and they will pull out cans so they can take them home and recycle them. People are very passionate about this issue, and also they feel it's a very good thing. Now, whatever was happening with the recyclables, I don't know. But people felt it was good, and they feel this is a step backwards. And it's also hard to take away a service. You look at all these other things, bus fare raises, or sanitation going up, or storm sewer going up. Well, you're not taking away a service. You're raising the cost of a service, but you're not taking away a service. People feel this is taking away a service, and the idea of taking your recyclables down to the city dump, I guess, is, you know, if you're an elderly person, or you don't drive, or you can't lift your recyclables to take them down there, or it's winter, I don't know. I mean, it's a nice idea. I certainly applaud the mayor for coming up with something, but I don't know if people are going to do that. Maybe some probably will, I guess. But, you know, not everybody has a truck. And if you have a nice car, do you want to dump your recyclables in the back seat or the trunk? I don't know. I don't know how that will work, to be honest with you. So here we are. But the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 40 minutes past the hour on this Wednesday morning, middle of the week. Memorial Day right around the corner. We'd love to hear from you if you have any thoughts on this. By the way, I did notice this morning that Jason Schauber, former Marion City Councilman, posted something in regard to curbside recycling and what's being done in the city and the options that are being given. Now, let me see if I can find this here. Okay, it says the city is ending curbside recycling on July the 1st and telling everyone to haul their stuff to the drop-off at the city garage. City garage, I said city dump, that was my mistake. City garage. Oh yes, I must add, Mayor Collins says it will be free. $4.79 gas ain't free to get there. Sounds simple though, right? Except the city code they're supposed to follow wasn't written for this at all. Look at these sections that are still on the books. 943.11 says your recyclables are collected or in the process of being collected. They belong to the city, no scavengering allowed. That part still works at a drop-off, but the rest, the implied contract part basically says if the city offers you recycling service, you're automatically signed up unless you prove to the safety service director you're handling it some other legal way. That was easy to check when trucks rolled down every street every week, but never enforced. Now, with an unmanned drop-off, good luck knowing who's actually participating. And the other code, 943.99, says if you violate any of this, it's a misdemeanor, up to a $100 fine or 60 days in jail, and every day it continues, it's a new offense. The current setup was built for curbside service. Switching to drop-off without updating the code first means the rules don't match and residents are actually supposed to do. Monitoring mandatory recycling at a random drop-off location is almost impossible. This is yet another example of Mayor Collins pushing through big changes unilaterally without doing the basic homework. He is creating confusion, making enforcement a mess, and leaving residents to deal with the fallout. We deserve better planning than this. The code needs to be updated to clearly match the new drop-off model. or they need to make recycling voluntary so they're not pretending to enforce rules they can't actually check. The city of Marion can do better. And that's Jason Schauber, former 3rd Ward City Councilman. Well, okay, now see, this comes back to a whole nother thing about knowing codes and I guess having a long tenure on council. And if you don't have anybody who has been there a while or who knows the city codes, I guess things like this can happen. And I'm telling you, the backlash from this, I don't think is going to be pretty. Now, maybe nobody will show up on Tuesday and nobody will care about this, but the backlash online so far has been rather large considering what normal backlash on something in regard to City Hall is. And I don't know if people are going to take this well, and the mayor is going to have to own this one fully. Because this was not something that was presented to council. This was not something council had a chance to approve or disapprove. This was something that was done by the mayor, as Jason Schauber said, unilaterally. So, where do we go from here? Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I just feel that there will be pushback on this, and I think that the pushback is going to be from all groups. I don't think it matters if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or whatever you are, how you feel about recycling. That doesn't seem to be a partisan issue. And also, basically, it's going away in a month. And on top of that, you do have the bus fare increase now going on in a month. And that essentially was done unilaterally with Mayor Collins. He presented it to council, but I don't think it's anything that has to be approved by council, we have found out. So here we are. And also on Monday, I did think it was interesting, and we didn't talk about it yesterday, but Mayor Collins said that in the past, I think the last time bus rate increases were talked about, that council decided or wanted to take away the power for him to raise the bus fares, but they never put it in legislative form, so he can still raise the bus fares unilaterally. Now, on Monday he did say, well, if council wants to put some legislation forth so that they were the ones raising the bus fares and would stop him from doing that, they could, but essentially, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Again, I don't know. Is anybody on council going to do that? I guess just the point is, should any mayor be able to raise the transit fees? Should any mayor be able to eliminate a program that's been around for 41 years just with the stroke of a pen? I guess this is the question. You know, I don't know why any mayor would want to do that. If you thought you had the votes in council, I mean, I think I'd want to spread that around. You know, sort of spread the blame around so you're not taking all of the blame for things like this. Or at least put some legislation up to where people can have some kind of response. You know, I wonder on Tuesday, is curbside recycling even going to be on the agenda? There's no legislation to pass, but is there going to be a notification to people that they can come and maybe share their thoughts on the elimination of curbside recycling? I know the League of Women Voters appeared when the thought first came about back in February, and they were against it. They came out against the elimination of curbside recycling. So I don't know. I don't know how this will all play out over the next few days. 62 degrees and light rain here in Marion. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, 48 minutes past the hour. If you've got anything to say, please feel free to weigh on in this morning. By the way, I did want to mention that tonight is tonight or tomorrow night? I don't know. This week is Stephen Colbert's last show after 11 years on CBS, kind of bringing to an end late night on CBS. David Letterman started there in 1993, so 33 years of late night will come to an end right around the corner. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
I want to give a comment on Marjorie Stahl.
Oh, go ahead.
My brother was in Vietnam, and 2 years ago, I believe it was, he and I went, I took him to Dry Rivers, and I want to tell you, it certainly is the most impressive free event. Anybody that knows anybody that was in Vietnam should try to make an appointment to let them know about this and help them if they don't have a way of getting there or whatever. You're not pulled out of the crowd as an individual. You are honored totally. And the thing that impressed me the most, well, not the most, but when we left, now, mind you, they gave him some different things, you know, gifts of whatever, but they had the same films and stuff that they have if they go to Washington, D.C. It was really kind of just a reenactment of what they would get, what would they go through if they went to Washington, D.C., for the ones that's not able to. Anyway, the thing that is the guests, the public left first, and they lined that hall going out the back door, and then the veterans paraded through that, and everyone congratulated them, and thanked them for coming, or for serving our country, and so forth, and you had seen the tears running down those guys' and gals' cheek. It was very, very impressive. And it doesn't cost anything. But it's just like you are in Washington, D.C. They try to make everything so you can see what's there, what over, and so on. And it is wonderful. It doesn't last that long. And it, for me, he was there. I was never there. But for me, it impressed me so much that I just had to call and tell you that it's a wonderful thing. And if you know anyone that, and they make it so that if the person is handicapped, you know, wheelchair, walker, whatever, they make it very handy for you because they have people outside the doors there at Tri Rivers. And so you can pull up and stop there, and they help the veteran get in, and you go ahead and park. Of course, there's plenty of parking. But if anybody knows anybody that served and was never able to go to Washington, D.C., it is the most wonderful thing. It is absolutely beautiful. It, even if you didn't serve, it certainly does make a better American out of you when you leave.
And you know what's interesting? I think this year being the 250th anniversary of the country, 2 months away, and the fact that this event is actually falling on D-Day this year, these are significant events. But it still surprises me, because certainly we all remember the horrible time that the Vietnam veterans had when they came back to this country, and they were very scarce to talk about it for quite a while. But, you know, it's been, gosh, over 50 years now, and it's interesting for me to hear that that is still hanging with people more than a half century later.
See, they're different than World War II veterans, because World War II veterans still get together, you know, and whatever. But it's like when the guys come home, like my brother, when he comes home, unless you ask him something about it, he never says a thing about what went on over there. I mean, you know, eventually he will, but it's not like he is kind of patting himself on the back. I don't know if that's the right expression. But when those guys leave there, I'm sure that they have a different feeling about the public, you know, because we just kind of left them hanging. So anybody, and it doesn't cost a thing. You go, you sit, you look at the films, you listen to people. It seems to me like there's some music, so on. But it, anybody that knows anybody and that they could possibly, you know, call in and make their reservations and try to be able to get them there, it would be a real feather in your cap.
I think you're exactly right. And you know what's very odd about the whole Vietnam thing? And I had some firsthand experience with this because my father was a Vietnam War veteran. And he enrolled. He was not drafted, and he also was honorably discharged because he was rappelling out of a helicopter, and the rope snapped, and he injured his knee. But you know, I knew that he was in the war. I knew that he enrolled right out of high school. I knew that he was injured rappelling out of an airplane. But honestly, outside of that, I never heard him talk about it. And for the longest time, I thought he must not have been in live combat because he never spoke of it. He never went to reunions. He never talked with people who he was in the war with. He did not stay in contact with them if there were people he was close with. I wouldn't even know that. He never, ever, ever spoke about it, and I never heard him speak about it with anybody else. And you know, it's very strange now to look back on that.
It is. Now, mind you, my brother, because his penmanship was so well, that he was a clerk. So he said as far as carrying a weapon, he never did that. But because he was a clerk, he knew every guy in his unit, or whatever they call it. And then he says you would hear where somebody didn't make it back, and he'd had a personal contact with them for whatever reason a clerk and the guy would have. And but as far as him going and you know, and him and these buddies getting together and talk about it, he never ever does. And I don't know very many Vietnam guys that do.
No, it's a peculiar thing because the World War II guys who are getting, you know, very thin at this point, they would talk about it, and in a way they were almost lauded. I mean, people would have them at schools and people would have them at places.
Honored.
Yeah. Well, I mean, D-Day. We know D-Day. We know, you know, events that happened in World War II. I mean, we celebrate D-Day. We know Pearl Harbor. Well, we're starting to forget that Pearl Harbor Day is around. But we knew those things about World War II. Is there any date that's significant to Vietnam War? I don't think there is.
No. Well, if there is, I'm not a knowledgeable of it. But it's just, I know for him as an example, and he has had a lot of health problems. Whether he would have had them anyway, I don't know. But I had six brothers, and he was the most unlikely to go to war of all of them. And I had two others that did too, but he's just, you know, like he been there, done that, don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and my dad was the same way. It's not like he was traumatized. He would talk about anything else that interested him. It's just, other than the fact that he was injured rappelling out of that helicopter and the fact that he was not drafted, because so many were, that's all he would ever say. And I don't even remember him saying that. I think I heard that from other people. He just didn't talk about it.
Yeah, that's, you know, where when they come home from World War II, they were all acknowledged at family reunions and all of this, and those guys just, you know, I think they were proud they done it, but they felt like the country was ashamed of them.
Well, I think so, and I think the marches didn't help that, but then again, you know, a lot of people feel that the marches and the protests were one of the things that finally got them home. So it's, but I can understand how watching that you would feel like maybe your country had turned it's back on you. And I know there were those instances where they were treated very poorly coming back. So it's a complicated subject, but what's very unfortunate is that it still looms a half century later.
Right. And I don't think you have to be a veteran to attend this. It's just that the veterans are honored, but you can be, a spectator. That's not the right word, but anyway. So it does move you to, even if you didn't serve.
Right.
And like I said, if you know anyone that did, that maybe hadn't heard it here, to write down the information and try to get a hold of them and offer to take them if they have no way of going, because I tell you, they certainly do honor them. And it is just like they're going to Washington on the honor flight, except they're sitting in their chair in Marion, Ohio.
Well, I'm glad you gave us a firsthand perspective. And so I'm going to mention this again here before we run out. Honor flight at home in Ohio, in Marion, Saturday, June the 6th. That is D-Day, by the way, so remember that date. Tri-Rivers Vocational Center, Route 95, east of Marion, across from Meyer. Check-in starts at 1 p.m. Program 2...
There's no cost.
No cost?
There's no cost. You just have to make the reservation so that they, because they do give them a lot of memos.
Right. And
things in reminding of. And so that's what you have to do. But and if you want to do a good thing for somebody, see if you can make arrangements to take that person that would otherwise not be able to go. Or didn't know anything about it. So.
And we want to say the deadline for applications is May the 27th. And if you want to get an application, call 740-360-8902. Write that down, 740-360-8902. Deadline for applications is May the 27th. Well, thank you for calling in, and thank your brother for his service.
Well, and Scott, if you would be available that time, I mean, you wouldn't have, but there was a lot of just family there, not just vets, to go and just observe it. It's beautiful. It really is.
I think it's just right across from where I live, so I think I'm going to try to make it over this year.
Okay, you'd have something to talk about the next week, I'm sure.
That's always a plus.
Yes.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to break. We're coming back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
2010. Why did you finally decide to speak, and how did it come about that you chose me to do the first interview?
Well, because you've been very kind, very fair,